Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody, welcome live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weill, sports podiatrist. All things sports, medicine, fitness, wellness, and life. Brought to you by Global Schoolwear. Stylish school uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger. LER, Lower Extremity Review. Medical evidence-based magazine. UK Health Radio, one of the largest groups of health and wellness organizations. We've got a great doubleheader, Rising Up For You stories and stories that outlive us. Netalina Nasruddin, she's the CEO founder at Rise Up For You. She's a multiple TEDx talker, transformational leader. She's joining me along with returning Lou Vickery, former Yankee pitcher. His pitching coach was Whitey Ford, longtime radio host, multiple author. Then the sports doctor's in. With some of your emails and Dr. Bob Wisdom. First, Netalina, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here today. I appreciate it. Excited to share.
Yes, give us some background on yourself and the work that you are involved with.
Yeah, well, short story. I used to be a performer, which I consider a sport, so singing and dancing.
You're not kidding.
And I used to tour the world internationally and do, you know, musical theater. And after that, I moved to being an executive of an education corporation and then a professor at night for a community college in the U.S. And I found that in every single industry that I've ever been in, whether I was performing, teaching, leading at the corporate level, that the biggest challenge always came down to people, their behaviors and their beliefs. So I spent a lot of time, nonetheless, solving people problems, how they show up, how they communicate, how they manage their stress, their self-awareness, their ability to build relationships, to lead, and really communicate in an effective way that not only served them personally, but also professionally. And that's really where my journey started, around trying to figure out what does success really mean and what are the skills that you need to optimize that and make that happen.
Yes, and what's interesting is that these situations today, there's been such an explosion of health and wellness. There's all sorts of attention to anti-aging and living well and super seniors, et cetera, et cetera. We feature so much of it on the Sports Doctor. I characterize so much of that, Netta, as the mental game. Again, whether you're the best athlete in the world, whether you're their coach, whether you're a teammate, whether you're dealing with how do I stay on my diet, whether you're dealing with all of these kinds of challenges, all of a sudden it's become a very, very big deal. Whoever heard of the world of coaching? 20 years ago, if you mentioned coaches, we think you're on the sidelines. Not that there's 10 trillion lifestyle and health and wellness coaches. So it's a tremendous area to be in. And in the area of podcasting and, again, being an educator. Tell us about Rise Up For You.
Yeah, so today Rise Up For You is a global company. We work with leaders, entrepreneurs, and their teams around the world teaching soft skills. So essentially, as mentioned, people skills, human behavior. We focus on four major pillars: self-confidence, emotional and social intelligence, how to be a transformational leader, and then how to communicate with influence. And we do everything from one-to-one coaching to on-site team training. And we have clients all the way from Fortune 5 down to local nonprofits.
Yes, it's great to see. You know, it's funny, again, before less than a decade ago, no one knew what biohacking meant. It's lifestyle medicine. Functional medicine. We've been talking about this on the Sports Doctor. I'm pushing my 45th year on the show here. I'm glad you could contribute because it's amazing. A couple of months ago, I had from the Netherlands an expert, a Taoism expert, talking about 2,500-year-old values like simplicity and compassion, ideas that are as relevant today in everything you're talking about to maybe 2,000-3,000 years ago. And what's interesting is the fact that, yes, there's a lot of new, exciting attention to this. And also, every expert I have on from around the world, when I ask them, how we doing? They roll their eyes. Again, whether it's the obesity and whether it's the childhood challenges and social media. So that's why I have to ask you how your sports psychology skills are.
Well, I mean, I think that you bring up a really good point, and that is the problem, is that, you know, globally, not just in first world countries, we focus on the wrong things that don't actually move the needle from a behavioral standpoint. So everything that we're talking about, you know, medicine, functional medicine, health, mindset, emotional intelligence, your ability to lead, is all contingent upon your behaviors. But most of the time, especially on social media and mass media, no one is really focusing on how do you get to the core of the behavior so that you can modify or switch it. And that's why in today's world, we have more content and more information than we've ever had in our life, but we're still sicker, less emotionally yes. intelligent, and more disconnected than we've ever been. And
I hear you rolling your eyes. But that's one of the reasons why it's been so exciting to see superstars like Michael Phelps, like yes. Simone Biles, coming out the past few Olympics and talking about this stigma, the whole mental game side of things, and the fact that there's much, much more attention. And at the highest level, again, what you're all about, you can train these systems. When you're talking high performance and enhanced recovery and what I call intelligent rest, the mental game is a very, very big deal, sort of like the golfer. Can you forget that last swing you messed up? You know, can you be in the moment? So these are the kinds of things that you find in areas of business. What are some of the topics of your TED Talks?
Well, the first topic is soft skills and what that looks like in the corporate world. But I want to address
that's a great term. That's an interesting. What did you say? Soft skills.
Soft skills. Soft skills is the academic term. But they're actually not so soft, right? They take a
right.
lot of work. It takes a lot of training and priming.
It's a great topic, I think, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to bring it up. What is the best place to go, website, et cetera, to find out about you and your work?
So if you go to riseupforyou.com, completely spelled out, you can go there. You can learn more about our company. You can also go to our YouTube and our podcast. Everything is Rise Up For You. It's super simple to find. And we have a ton of free resources where you can learn more about soft skills, how to bring them in personally, and how yes. to bring them in professionally as well.
Yes, we want to see these things included in school systems. I've been talking about it a long time. The idea, again, unless we make these kinds of changes, now we're being forced into it by, on the left, dramatic, this new AI hoopla, the Wild West, which is going on. And then again, the idea of social media, which has just made one of the leading contributors to my book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, adult child psychiatrist 15 years ago said, oh my gosh, when she was talking about concerns about so-called social media, with the population. So the idea that you can pay attention to this stuff and get involved with it, the earlier the better. How have you found the cooperation of medicine, for example, with what you're doing?
Well, I mean, I think it depends what you mean by medicine, right? So there's different types of medicine. And
yes.
what I can tell you is that your physiology is directly connected to your emotional state of being. Whether you're an athlete, whether you're a leader, it takes energy. And it takes physical energy to do the things that we do, whether it's leading a team of 100 or stepping out in the ring and boxing. It doesn't matter. And so those two things are connected, and they will always be connected. And if anybody thinks that their performance in sports is not connected directly to their emotional state and their mindset, they are sadly mistaken.
Oh, big time. Some of the best athletes I've ever seen in my whole career have been dancers. in so many instances as far as what their different challenges were with all of that tremendous physical activity. And what do you also see when you're talking about whether it's business groups that you're dealing with, or whether it happens to be organizations and or groups of park district situations? How have you found the kind of interaction of how much more attention we really need to be paying to this, and the fact that, again, at best we're treading water, and that's why it's exciting to see all this tremendous attention in health and wellness, but it's a wild west out there with misinformation as one of the challenges.
Well, what I will tell you is that these skills make up 80% of your success, but none of us ever learn them, right? So now imagine how much more optimized we would be as human beings if we learned the 80% skills yes. that we actually need to be successful in life. I mean, think about this. How many of us know leaders or amazing athletes that have, you know, 3 PhDs? I mean, they are uniquely talented and incredibly special, but they never really build the success that they can or want, or they've never really reached their potential, because the technical game, again, whether you're in sports or leadership, is only 20% of the success. It's only 20% of the pie.
One of the challenges also that is the fact, again, the more talented you're, when we're talking sports parents, and, you know, it's such a big field, youth sports, traveling teams, club teams, scholarships, being paid, gambling, it's crazy. And it seems the more talented the kid is, many times we see the more challenging it is. I just celebrated my latest gold medalist with orthotics, and Danny O'Shea with the Olympic team. It was so exciting to see. But when you're taking a look at these athletes at the Olympics, you know, they started when they were so young, a lot of pressure. And I think we still have to really be paying attention to the idea, what role of parents, and the what are the age groups that you deal with? 3 to 103?
100%. This is literally for every person. I mean, we've gone into jails and worked with 12-year-olds that are in the juvenile detention center and done this work, all the way up to Fortune 5 companies like Google. I mean, there's no age limit to these skills, and in fact, the faster you learn them, the more successful and sustainable of a life you will have.
And if somebody, you know, parents, coaches, whatever, say, oh yeah, this sounds so terrific, how long in general does it take, Ned, for people to start seeing a difference? A lot of times it's the next day, because they're paying attention to what they would help if they pay attention to it.
No, that doesn't work in this industry. When you're trying when you're trying to switch behaviors and belief systems and really become optimal in soft skills, it takes 3 months minimum.
That's not bad really at all. And I'm confident that we're going to start to see these skills and continue to be stressed everywhere from Little League to elementary school, again, to try to make a difference in health and wellness in all of these different areas. And I agree with you 100%. There's not a condition we deal with where the mental side of things isn't a big deal, whether it's the cause or whether it's the aggravator. And do you find that the health and wellness company, I'm working with a group also within in the area of trying to do something about juvenile type 2 diabetes and get lifestyle changes and exercise included to a condition that years ago was called adult onset diabetes type 2. And then there was an explosion with these kids. So the lifestyle medicine, and again, the idea that we can now use the word complementary between Eastern and Western medicine, has been very helpful. When it was called alternative, it was always a contest, Netta.
Yeah, absolutely.
And do you find also that many times when parents especially will learn these skills, then everything improves when you're dealing with some of these different challenges, you know, single family households and all of these other kinds of challenges, everything is made a lot more difficult. And nutrition, for example, is in the middle of a lot what you guys pay attention to, isn't it?
Well, yeah, because nutrition is an energy blocker, right? Or it's an energy gainer. So, and again, everything is connected. So if you're not in touch with the nutritional side and how to take care of your body or your temple, then it directly impacts your energy, and energy directly impacts your capacity to communicate and perform.
And if somebody realizes, again, that maybe they're going to be working on these kinds of skills really forever, you know, I've always been a very big meditation fan. Rest and recovery is one of our biggest challenges today. Youth sports is an explosion of overkill. Too much. Too aggressive. This is one of the challenges with the weekend warriors, et cetera. I call it the terrible twos. You're doing too much. You're doing too aggressive. Especially if you're jumping on a pickleball court, you know, and you're not ready to play. So many times preparation becomes so important when we're dealing with a lot of these important topics. And attitude is, again, it's the magic word, isn't it?
I would say attitude and self-awareness. You need to be aware of your body. You need to be aware of how you're feeling so that you can perform at your best. And you need to be able to honor that. And like you said, a lot of times we push. That's where injuries come into play. That's where professional careers are even started. You've got to build a self-awareness and an attunement to your body as well as your mind.
You know, it's interesting. One of my physical therapist associates for years has helped with the actors and actresses and different shows coming through Chicago. And she'd always say to me, hey, Dr. Bob, man, these dancers trying to keep these men and women on their feet with those kinds of challenges. So when you had mentioned, again, being in the world of performing, what type of dance did you do?
So it was musical theater, so, you know, tap, jazz, that kind of stuff.
Great stuff. Give us again, I know the time would fly with you. Give us again where people could find out more information about you and your great work.
Yeah, Rise Up For You, completely spelled out, is the best place. There's tons of resources. There's our podcast, our YouTube. You'll be able to find it all there.
Yes, I'm looking forward to joining you on Rise Up For You sometime in the very near future. Hey, Natalino Masterdean, thank you so much for joining us. You're on our roster here at the Sports Doctor. Hold on. We'll be right back, everybody. Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharky Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharky is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharky talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Hey everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Live from Chicago, it is the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. I want to welcome back longtime guest, one of our faves, Lou Vickery. One of his many claims to fame is he pitched for the Yankees. His pitching coach was Whitey Ford. He's written so many books. Lou had a show, Lou in the Morning, down in the Panhandle. And for about 3 years, once a month, I'd show up. We would do the Sports Doctors in on his show, Lou Vickery. Hey, great to have you back. Welcome back.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Bob. I tell you what, it's great to be back. You know, I was thinking about that radio show. I miss that. But I did miss getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning. You know what I mean?
I hear you. But at the same time, we see the topics, they never get old. In so many different ways, again, when things we would pay so much attention to, you know, you were down there in the Panhandle where they're playing baseball 5,000 days a year and all the overuse and all the problems. And we were talking about the challenges from professional sports on down. And we've taken part in a couple of different books together. You're involved with another one. You know, you and I have talked about the mental game for all this time. And I think you're still... You still out there hitting those two-hand backhands in tennis, Lou?
Doc, I played 3 sets this morning. It was a little warm, but I certainly enjoy it. I play at least 3 times a week and sometimes 4.
You know what's interesting, Lou, is in the world of pickleball, and I wrote an article in 2020, and it was called Pickleball is Physical. Now, no one knew how to spell the word pickleball back then. Now it's the biggest sport in the world. And I was watching back then at my club on the basketball court, one senior after another jumping on that court, so excited. And not surprisingly, we saw so many different injuries from, it's a multi-directional, you're moving. People who play tennis later in life have played since they're a kid, in many instances. But pickleball is a different challenge. And a lot of times when I have you on, look what's going on at the French Open. Holy cow.
You know, every time I watch these guys, I keep thinking, they can't get far enough back. These guys with the serves 120, 130 miles an hour. I wish I had a fastball like that in my day.
Yeah. Well, the point is, Lou, again, we're dealing with bigger, faster, stronger constantly. So whether you're watching an ice hockey game with a guy who's 6'5", 235, well, that's the shortstop who's playing, or the size of some of these players, the athleticism. And this is why when you were playing, you couldn't find someone throwing 98 miles, 100 miles an hour. Now there's like 5 guys on each team. So we always wondered how long it would take before we would start seeing trouble, whether it was, 20% of Tommy John surgery is on teenagers. What? What's going on here with this, right, with this tremendous pressure? And again, part of these stories about all sorts of different things is part of your latest project, which is Stories That Outlive Us. I participated. So how many books have you been involved with already, Lou?
Yeah, this is book number 27, Doc.
Wow. Now, I know you've written about business. You were very successful in business. You've always been a big head game guy. Again, you know, talking about in the motivational world in that regard, when you wrote the book with the coach of the Auburn Tigers, you know, winning the head game with
Sonny Smith. Yes.
So we always, you know, we've always paid big attention to those topics. You know, it was a physical side of things. Wasn't it a shoulder problem that stopped you in your career?
Yes, I tell you, it was. I partially tore my rotator cuff, and I slipped warming up in the bullpen of all places in Boston.
Oh boy,
no harder than I threw before that. I was really in trouble then. You know, Doc, just Monday, I had a friend, and we were sitting in between a set of tennis and visiting a few minutes, and he was telling me his great-grandson. We're at that age where we have great-grandkids. And he, at 13 years of age, tore his rotator. Not his rotator cuff, but he's going to have the Tommy John surgery. And so he's been on one of these travel teams, and you and I have talked about that in length before.
Yes. Now, what's interesting, of course, Lou, is the more talented your son or daughter is, the more the pressure is on, whether it's to play hurt, whether it's to try to hide an injury because you're worried about you might not play, all those kinds of scenarios. There was a funny story with the great Urlacher of the Chicago Bears, where he was making a kind of a quib about, you know, the whole concussion world. He said, you know, if I took a dinger and I'd go to the sidelines and say, my foot hurt, you know, so he wouldn't have to go get pulled from the game. But in youth sports, well, you know, Dr. Wild, don't you understand? If my daughter doesn't take two Advil twice a day, her knees are killing her. So these are the challenges. Now, when you and I take a look, especially a guy who became a pro like you, and you add gambling and the transfer portal, and you go, holy cow, it's just blowing up sports in so many ways. Wow, what a challenge that's going to be, Lou.
You're exactly right. You know, it's disappointing to see all these kids being having problems with arms, with elbows, particularly the shoulder problems. And they burn out, Doc. They get to the point where
Foot ankle. Also, again, now Little League woke up. It was about 25 years ago, maybe longer, give or take a little. Little League woke up, and someone said, "You know what? 35% of these kids are not coming back." And what everybody looked at each other and realized was, because is anybody having any fun anymore, or are we dealing with overzealous parents? And, you know, I've had coaches, referees on my show over the years telling me how difficult it is in this day and age to get anybody to be a ref because of these pressures, you know, even when the refs are kids. So we all need to take a breath and back the heck off in so many different areas. And I'll bet that's going to be some of the different stories that you might see when you're talking about your new venture, which is an interesting topic. Again, stories that outlive us. Where'd you come up with that
idea,
Doc, Lou?
If someone had an interest in submitting a story, they can do it to louvickery824@gmail.com. I'd love to. We're looking for stories between 500 and 1,500 words, and it has been, we'd be happy to send anyone a proposal so they can see what we're doing. But I have been really excited. Doc, I want to mention one other book. It's just recently out at Amazon. It's talking about winning the head game. I'm doing a series of winning the head games. This one is for entrepreneurial salespeople. It's called Winning the Head Game, Key to Sales Success for Entrepreneurs.
Yeah, what's interesting and amazing is the rules are the same. whether you're talking
to
coaching.
Well,
exactly. The rules are the same. The question is whether you're gonna do it. And the other question is that, understand now, the late great sports psychologist Jim Vickery, who spent about 5 years in the 90s with me on the radio, with his couple of bullet points for either parents and or coaches, specifically sports parents. And he said, number one was, don't be a critic, analyzing your kid on the way home in the car. And number two is, be a good listener. Are they having fun? Are they, hiding an injury because they've got some sort of a problem, et cetera? So the communication becomes so important, whether it's the locker room in Notre Dame, or I guess whether you're talking to billion-dollar companies who, you know, are still interested in maybe some of those principles.
You know, you hit a nail right on the head, and I think that the biggest issue we face today, particularly in baseball, is the issue of too much parental insistence on kids doing things that I'm not so sure they need to be doing. You know, I have another book called Coach Says, and that one involves the coaches are all relatives of mine. I've won over 20 state championships, and there's six of them involved in writing a book called Coach Says. It's also one that you can find at Amazon. But we talked about the importance of being participants, not just in one sport, but it doesn't hurt to play a couple sports.
Well, that's what everybody in sports medicine, from the athletic trainer to the sports doctors to, again, me included, want children to grow up playing different sports, to use different parts of the body, experience different challenges, et cetera, et cetera. And that's great. Unless your son or daughter is a gymnast, or in my world, figure skater, maybe now even tennis, soccer, also swimming, volleyball. Where you got a young, talented kid, man, and that's all they want to do. And the late Jim Vickery would say to parents, if this is your son or daughter, listen, accept it, stop insisting. And, when we celebrated 16 years, I can't believe it, Luke, 16 years since this young kid from Naperville, Illinois, Evan Lysacek, won the men's Olympic gold medal figure skating title. He was 10 when I put orthotics in his skate. Yeah. And we were celebrating 60. I had his mom on after the Olympics, after 2010. I said, how did you know it was his goal, not yours? That problem with the overzealous parents. She said, you know, Dr. Bob, we had ice time at 6:15 in the morning, and I never had to wake the kid up. There he was in the car with his hat on. I said, I've never heard a better answer than that from any psychologist. You know, the idea of the overzealous parents, the Svengali coach, and even the history, it's no surprise what we've seen happen with the doctors in some regards, which is, you know, all this overkill and all this overpressure. And this is something that you and I have talked about as long as we shared some of the different shows. And my whole shtick with you, my story is going to be who I met online at Jewel Osco. Years ago in Glen Ellyn, Illinois, online with this gal in this fancy warm-up suit. I said, wow, what's that? It opened up two doors down, the late, great Bob Guida, Mr. Yeah. Mr. Universe, who became, I spent the next 40 years with this guy, give or take a few weeks, with some of the great athletes that he's speaking at tennis, McEnroe and Tracy Austin and Jimmy Connors, because he was an innovator. In sports, but if I wasn't online, who would have known if it would ever happen? So that was like my contributing a story. But that's an interesting topic. I would think people could discuss that all day. Stories that outlive us.
Absolutely. Dr. Bob, one other thing. I have a YouTube channel, and if somebody would love to, it's just a wise word. YouTube, a wise word. And there's a story on there, what Mickey Mantle told me when I got to the Yankees about going first class, and I'll never forget it. You know, he looked at me, and I didn't have updated equipment. He helped me get a locker full of new stuff. In those days, a player had to purchase their own equipment, and he helped me, and I thanked him, and he mentioned to me his words. I'll never forget him. Kid, you're a Yankee now, and Yankees go first class.
What a great quote that is. You know, I grew up Mickey Mantle, Willie Mays, Duke Snyder, the center fielders. I was in New York, so I was a Willie Mays. But realistically, if Mickey Mantle doesn't get injured, he might have set every record that was ever invented in the world of baseball, if he didn't have that injury that it became at such a crucial time. But what a great quote that is. What a great message that happens to be, you know, in so many different areas. And your message is also, Lou, again, having to do with the communications, or regardless of the business that happens to be involved. Or again, you know, your big attention again, you know, to the mental game, to the value that has, whether it's in overcoming an injury or it's enhancing performance. And I want to ask you more about that when we come back. We're talking with ex-Yankee, ex-Cardinal. Hey, Lou in the morning. Lou Vickery. We'll be right back, everybody. It's the Sports Doctor.
The station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle Magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle Magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hey, the Sports Doctor. We're reminiscing and talking about all sorts of exciting parts of what Lou Vickery's been involved with over his over 20 books that he's written, including the latest, which is the collection from all aspects of stories that outlive us, and talking about the various YouTube channels. And again, you know, Lou, in the area of senior sports medicine, you know how much attention I pay. And that our friends at Today's Senior Magazine and others, you know, we get excited when I hear about you playing three sets of tennis in the morning, early 80s, you know, really being in shape and paying a big attention to that. That's why I showed up once a month with your show.
Well, Doc, you had a lot to do with me reaching this stage.
Oh, I bugged you, man. I have to tell you, we got to make sure Lou's in the right shoes. We got to look at orthotics big time with him. We got to work on strengthening his feet and ankles. Yes, absolutely. Because again, tennis is physical. And that's why we ran into such a problem, not laughingly, with pickleball. Because like racquetball and tennis, you are changing direction. You are moving with acceleration. There were as many injuries and problems with elbows and shoulders and wrists as there were lower extremity. Again, because of all of the running and jumping. So we're not saying someone needs to be a superstar, but we're saying, again, if you want to be playing tennis as a senior, or if you're interested in pickleball or whatever, we want you to include two things over the moons on the Sports Doctor. Number one is strengthen your feet and ankles. Learn how to strengthen your feet and ankles. Ankles still the main concern of injuries, and usually people neglect it. And number two is work balance. Whether you're 85 or 12, Valens, Guida. You walked into Bob Guida's clinics. There were 10 mini trams with athletes balancing on mini trams, and they might be swinging a hockey stick or a tennis racket or a baseball glove. He was all about what we termed instability training. And again, if you're going to be in a sport that's as physical as pickleball or tennis, and you, at any age, take a look at the athletes like we were talking about that we're seeing now, that are out there for 4 or 5 hours. And these guys are so much bigger, so much stronger. It's, really exciting to see, but, I'm looking for Serena maybe to jump back into doubles next week.
How about that? You know, Dr. Bob, I do want to mention this. One of the things I give, have an opportunity to speak to a lot of groups. And the last thing I tell everyone is have fun. If you cannot have fun at it, don't do it. And I think that's going back to our question about parental involvement. Let your kids have fun. You know, I remember
yes.
the day when we...
That's why Jim Vickery's first, that's why his second bullet point, besides don't be a critic for sports parents, was be a good listener. Are you having fun with your team, honey? How's your teammates?
Yes.
Hey, do you like your
yes.
coach? These kind, now we are paying much more attention to that at every level, but it is still a huge challenge, especially when you're talking about talented kids, in many different areas. And with, again, the more talent, the more the pressure happens to be there to, overdo it. And, you know, but again, the chapter in my book is called The Prodigy Sport. And that's all about the specialization of the young kid, whether we like it or not. You know, the 10-year-old who's figure skating 9 days a week or that kind of scenario. And there's a lot of them. And we need to also, you know, pay attention, to these kids. And, how do you find the business world, paying attention to these principles that you've been talking about forever?
Well, you know, the biggest issue that you have in marketing book is making sure you get the message out there. I am very fortunate. I have a database of over 6,000 people, including the great Dr. Bob Weil.
Thank you.
But I try to make sure that we break that into categories, Dr. Bob, where that some may be sports-related, some may be business-related. Because, you know, after my baseball days, I had an opportunity to train all over the country, train salespeople. I got involved in with a large corporation and ended up being in every city in the United States with 150,000 people or more over a 29-year career of training and talking about the development of sales and marketing people.
And what's amazing, again, is the mental game. Again, you know, I was mentioning various times from the Netherlands a few months ago, I had on Gerard, who was a Taoist therapist, and he was, you know, talking about 2,500-year-old values in life, whether it's simplicity or compassion or empathy, and how he was talking about the same ideas become as pertinent today as they were maybe 2,000 years ago, and that the attention, for example, to some of these areas has continued to grow, but, you know, that there's so much pressure in today's world, and that's before someone mentions the word politics, right?
Absolutely. I do want to mention, too, while I have the opportunity, awiseword.com is my where you find my library of books. I think there's 12 books still in print. Dr. Bob, you know, one of the reasons you can be able to write 27 books is that you live long enough. So that's I would like to mention coming this fall is a redo of a book called A Touch of Gray. I think you and I have talked about it before.
I remember that book, yes, that about you growing up and the interracial friendship, right?
That's correct. It must.
Yes,
it
what
a
great
story
that is. Yes.
And it's going to be re-released by a New York publisher worldwide, so I'm real excited about that.
And it's a true story, right?
Absolutely.
Yes, it is. And you were a trendsetter. You were one of the guys who had an integrated roommate as a pro, right?
You remember that well. Yes, I was the first one.
It just hit me. I do remember that, and that's why that's why we continue to show up and talk about some of these incredible principles that were, as again, as much in the world of life as they might be in the world of sports, or they were in the world of pressures and all of these different things. And the fact that you've had an opportunity to experience a lot of it, and I think we've made a lot of progress. Of course, I'm very, very concerned about on the left social media and on the right sports gambling and that whole idea of what it's going to do to all sorts of different sports. I'm really concerned about that side of stuff.
Well, yeah, and we should be concerned. It's unfortunate. Look at the kid now that's really messed up his whole, not only his career, but possibly his life. The kid, Sorsby. Who was going to be at Texas Tech, and then I see it's pretty much pronounced now that he will not participate in football, will not be able to play. Dr. Bob, there's going to be a lot of those kind of situations, unfortunately.
No, they got to come up with some rules. They got to come up with the fact that you can't be transferring colleges three times a week, that there's a sensible situation that will be controllable. And then again, you know, it's interesting, the psychology. One of my guests talked about the psychology of a sports fan. And if that's different, you know, growing up, you're a sports fan, you root for your teams, and now you're a gambler. And now maybe you're rooting for different things or different teams, and what that's like psychologically. And basically what he said was good luck to you when he talked about that scenario.
You know, do I have time to tell a quick story?
I will see. Keep going.
I came into a game. I was toward the end of my career for it for him. I was a closer, and I was told I was going to take the night off. But as it turned out, we entered the ninth inning with a 6-1 lead, and the pitcher gets in trouble. And next thing I know, here comes a signal for me to warm up. So I warm up, and by the time I get in the game, it's 6-3 and the bases are loaded. I came into the game and threw one pitch. A guy hit a grand slam home run. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, I mean, so we lose the game 7-6. At 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm walking the streets and I bump into a police officer and he says, "Son, what are you doing out here at this time of the morning?" And I told him the story. And Dr. Bob, he kind of poked my chest with his finger and he says, "Son, in your business and in my business, you better have a good forgettery." And I'm telling you, a good forgettery is important.
Great word.
In sports.
Powerful word, yes. Can you forget the last swing on the golf course where you hit it in the bushes? When you hit the next one. I've never heard the word forgettery. That's a great, holy cow, when you talk about something that could have fractured a player's psyche. For who knows how, you missed that free throw. We lost the game. But to come in, and was it the first pitch that the guy hit the grand slam?
Yeah, first pitch.
Oh.
Now, for the rest of the story, that was July the 3rd. On July the 4th,
was that with the Yankees or the Cardinals?
No, I was in the Cardinals. I got a save the next day and a win in a doubleheader on July 4th. So,
wow.
I threw a total of 5 pitches.
You were lucky. You were very lucky to have that crazy, you know, when someone would say, what are the odds that you're going to be in the next game after what happened, whatever, mentally and physically, and you lucked out, they called on you, you performed. I guess that's one of the reasons you became a pro, Lou. We talked about that a lot. What does it take? Remember we said the contest I would have on the sports doctor, which is what is more difficult, to become a pro or to become an Olympian? What do you think, Lou?
I tell you, it all amounts to what happens from the shoulders up, my friend. You can count on that. So that's the reason I talk about winning the head game.
And the point is again, like the late Jim Vick, you can train these systems. This was what my first guest was all about with our rising up. The idea, again, that regardless, you could train these systems. the figure skaters that I was dealing with 25 years ago were doing visualization before sports knew how to spell it. And the late great Eric Soderholm, who was the first baseball player that I put the Yankees, matter of fact, in the White Sox, that I put orthotics in his spikes, man, 1978, he had a hypnotist working with him. And the team, the White Sox, thought, what are you, out of your mind? And now we have sports hypnotists and the big attention to all that. And I think those are all good changes that we've seen in the world of the sports psychology world, you know, the mental game.
You know, that there's a very thin line between being good and being great. And in my estimation, being great is built around having the kind of attitude that, if, for example, you hit a ground ball to shortstop, the guy that's a 250 hitter hits the ball deep in the hole, oh, he'll throw me out. The 300 hitter is going to say, I'm going to beat this sucker out. It comes down to just simple, as I call it, simple math. There's no math about it, but it is simple. And that is that you approach your mental approach to whatever you do it. Dr. Bob, I want to make sure this quote gets out there. Do the best that you can at everything you do, and then you will always be able to do the best at anything you do. So just
include, I'm going to say now, write it down, Lou, include corrective forgettery.
That's it. Hey,
yes, I think that's such an important point. If you were, yes, you were able to, I guess, boy, oh boy, did you use that after the Grand Slam, in that regard. I remember in the great Louisville UCLA basketball, I was the semifinals, the Final Four. The guy, Louisville, I won't mention it, hadn't missed a free throw all season to win the game. Missed it, overtime, lost the game. He was never the same. Lou, give us again, where can people find your some of those books?
Well, it's A Wise Word, just simple, awiseword.com. Or you can go to Amazon. Everything I have is on Amazon. Just use my name, Lou Vickery, and you can find an array of books, Doc. There's plenty there. There's something
I always know I'm going to have you on the radio so often, because every time I turn around, you write another book. Ex-Yankee Lou Vickery, again, the stories that outlive us. Thanks so much.
That's it.
Catch you soon, my good friend. Thank you.